First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15. We're just going to read that one right there. The Bible says, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we, which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Let's pray real quick. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your words. Thank you that we have access to your holy words. Again, help us understand tonight. Help us to just go through this important doctrine, which is the doctrine on the rapture. Again, we thank you for your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we've been doing Bible studies on this, and I know some of you, a lot of you, were not able to come and join us, but so I'm going to get you all caught up tonight, so that the next time, if you're able to join us in our Bible study, at least you're all caught up, okay? what we've been studying, but we're going to go a little bit more than what we've been studying, maybe past than, you know, what we studied so far in our during our Bible studies. But, you know, I'm just glad our church, we believe in studying the Word of God. You know, there's more than just, you know, give your tithes faithfully. There's more than just come to church regularly, you know. Don't miss a Wednesday, don't miss this and that. And there's more to the Word of God than those things. Nothing wrong with those. But I'm pretty sure you know that the Bible is not just written for you to come to church. It's really written for you to grow in knowledge of God. It's written so that you can have a stronger relationship with your Savior. We're not a factory here, and this is not to try to belittle other churches, but a lot of churches have become a factory. You know what I'm saying? A factory is like a factory line. I will get you the gospel, you get saved, and I'll teach you the gospel, and you get other people saved, and that's all you know, back and forth. And the whole purpose of that, and again, I don't know the intentions, but most of the time, the purpose of that is just to grow and grow the numbers all the while neglecting the growing spiritually of the Christians. Okay? There's a difference. But in our church, we believe in growing in knowledge of God. Because we are told what? To study, to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We are told that all scriptures is given, right? By inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, okay, for instruction, right? So there's all kinds of other purposes, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So there's more to it than just knowing the gospel. So tonight, what we're going to learn about is the next most important event in your life if you are a Christian, and that is the rapture. Last time I taught you what you should do just in case you miss the rapture. More like, you know, fast forward of this event. So we're going to go back a little bit and learn about the event itself. Okay? What should we expect when this important event happens. Okay? People know about the rapture. I'm pretty sure they have heard or probably seen the movie Left Behind. How many of you have seen that movie? I know that. I know it. That pales in comparison to what exactly is going to happen. It doesn't paint the accurate picture of what's going to happen. Okay, so I'm going to show you from the Bible what is going to happen when this event occurs. Okay? And then at the end of this, that's why I erased the Brother Rogers house, was to add here, when will this happen? I'm sure you guys are looking forward to knowing that. And don't worry, I am not going to set a day or time. But I will tell you season. I will tell you about, based on the Word of God, how God works in the whole span of the history of the earth. That should give you an idea when. But the day and the hour, you'll be disappointed. I can't tell you if it's May 18, 2022 at 11 a.m. I can't tell you that. But I can tell you what season, I can tell you what century it is. I can tell you the condition of the world when this happens. Amen? So are you ready? All right. So let's read real quick 1 Corinthians 15, verse 49 to 55. 1 Corinthians 15, 49 to 55. So I hope you can see all these verses. Because I'm giving you the opportunity to write them all down. So you can go back to them and study them later. Read more about them. And you don't forget. Okay? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 49 to 55. And as we have borne the image of the earth, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. So there's two stages here. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. It's not only that you see two stages or two phases. You're seeing change. There will be a change when this thing happens. Look at verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Sounds fun. Sounds exciting. Who would like to be an immortal here? Nobody wants to be an immortal? I like to be an immortal. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? One of the greatest fears of mankind, even from the very beginning till now, is death. it's death. Maybe some more than others, but it is death. It is not a pretty picture. But every single one of us will have to face that someday, unless this event happens before you face it. Because it will be defeated. This is one of the last things that will be defeated, is death. I don't know about you, but I'm excited. I'm excited not to have to face death, God willing. But anyway, so here, what do we know about the rapture? What sort of things should we expect or see or hear when this event happens? Number one, there will be a flash of lightning. Let's take a look. Look at verse Matthew 24, verse 27. Matthew 24, verse 27. For you who have done this study with me, feel free to fill in the blanks. Matthew 24, verse 27. Here's what the Bible says. For as the lightning, Z is correct, cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. You see that? Let's take a look at another one. Psalms 50. Psalms 50. Okay. Verses 1 through 5. Here we go. The mighty God, even the Lord, had spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. It's very clear that passage about the gathering of the saints and the Lord just telling, come on, let's come on up and get together. And he said, God shineth. And there's a lightning. That's how this event is going to unfold. It's going to be lightning. Okay? What else can we learn? So there will be a flash of lightning when this event happens. Start picturing it in your mind. A rapture. You had lightnings. Okay? What else? There will be a... Say again, Z? Well, close. It goes with the lightning. Okay. Thunder. You know that. Growing up in the Philippines, for example, when it's raining and you see the lightning just go, and then you hear rumbling, thunder. So let's take a look at Job 37. Why thunder? Job 37. I don't know about you. I'm teaching this, but I'm enjoying. enjoying this. I hope you are enjoying this. Amen. Amen. Okay, Job 37. Because you know why I'm enjoying this? I'm just imagining the event right now as we read the Bible. Job 37. Verses 1 through 4. Okay? Let's read. 37, 1 through 4. All right? At this also my heart trembleth, and is moved out of his place. Hear attentively the noise of his voice, and the sound that goeth out of his mouth. He directed it under the whole heaven, and his lightning unto the ends of the earth. After it, a voice roareth. He thundereth with the voice of his excellency, and he will not stay them when his voice is heard. You know, the sound of God's voice sound like? It's a thunder. That's why some of the movies try to depict, you know, the voices of the gods, you know, using the thunder's voice. You know where they get it from? They get it from the Bible. Because that's what the Bible says, that the voice of the Lord sounds like a thunder. Look at John chapter 12. Look at John chapter 12, verse 28. Okay, here we go. Father, and glorify thy name. That's the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Look at verse 29. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. You know, the Lord said, you know, glorify thy name, Father. And the Father said, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. And it sounded like thunder. It sounded like thunder. And so keep that in mind. It sounds like thunder. And then you may say, okay, we're talking about a rapture here. How does this thunder, you know, come into play?
But we're going to put all these things together. Now, this thundering, this lightning, will be accompanied by the peal of what instrument do you think can sound like thunder or somebody calling who? A trumpet. The peal of trumpet will accompany this event. Let's take a look. 1 Thessalonians 4:16,
one more time. We read it already. The Bible says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. You know what a trump is? Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52. You know what a trump is? A trump is the sound that a what makes? A trumpet. 1 Corinthians 15, one more time, verse 52. Okay. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound. So, I'm just trying to imagine this. It says the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound. So I'm guessing there will be series of trumps when somebody calls, and you know, using a trumpet calls people into a battle or a gathering, and it's not just one trump. Bump. I'm pretty sure it'll be like bump, ba bump, ba bump, ba bump. You know, bump, ba bump, ba bump, ba bump, bump. I don't know how many. It could be 100. But the Bible here says that at the last trump of that trumpet, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed.
So at the peal of a trumpet will accompany the lightning and the thunderings.
When this event happened, wait for the sound of the trumpet. Because if you do hear the sound of the trumpet, and it's a sound like you've never heard before, it's probably as loud as a cobalt bomb going off. Maybe louder. But you'll be able to distinguish it. It's like, that one didn't sound like a band. It's more like somebody blowing up. Series of bombings. Because that's exactly how it's going to sound like.
Now, let's put all these things together. You have lightning, you have thundering, and trumpet sounding off. Every Christian, every born-again child of God, and that's you today, if you are a born-again child of God, will hear
chapter 10, verse 3. John chapter 10, verse 3. Here's what the Bible says. Actually, I'll read verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. He calleth our great shepherd. will be calling us by name. Will be calling us by name. That sounds exciting. When this happens, God, using His thunderous voice, He is going to say, Zuriel. Ziphron. Roger. Jaius. But there's another phrase that goes with that, and I'll show you what phrase. Revelations chapter 4, verse 1 to 2. Revelations 4, verses 1 to 2. And just because I didn't use you as an example doesn't mean you're not going to be called, okay? So, I just mentioned a few. Okay? All right, Revelations chapter 4, verses 1 to 2. Here's what the Bible says. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. Imagine the door opening, okay? And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet. Here we go again. Talking with me. I'm pretty sure you know who that voice is. Which said, come up hither. Come up hither. You know, this phrase, Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, so happened that this is the start of the tribulation period. After Revelation chapter 3, you will no longer read about the church of Ephesus, the church of Pergamos, the church of Thyatira, and all those things were mentioned in chapter 1 to 3. But then chapter 4 comes around, and the first thing that you hear about is, come up hither. You know what will accompany your name?
When this event unfolds,
Marie, come up hither. David, come up hither. You know, to the unsaved world, it'll be nothing but thunder. It'll be just, what is going on? The world is about to end because things are going crazy with the environment. Lightning and thundering, and they're all hiding in the caves, in their houses, whatever. While the Christians are actually enjoying the entire event because we are hearing our names call. When our names get called and these events start to unfold, the first thing that's going to happen is this. The dead in Christ shall
rise first.
That's why there's two lies. That's very good. You're studying your Bible. Rise first. You ready? All right. We already read about that. Okay. 1 Corinthians 15. The dead in Christ shall rise first. All of our loved ones that have gone before us, all of our friends,
we said goodbye to not too long ago, and actually pretty recently, we've seen, experienced some of the saints gone home. They've gone to be with the Lord spiritually. But you know where what will happen to their bodies? Their bodies will be put together again to be with Christ. Let's take a look at it again. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. The mortal bodies will put on immortality. This corruptible body will put on incorruption. It says, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. You know what a twinkling is in the original Greek, if there's such a thing? It's atom. You students, you know what about an atom? It's composed of electrons, protons. And what else? Neutrons. I forgot about that one. Neutron. You know what God is going to do? In the twinkling of an eye, twinkling. That's why all these electrons, running around. He will restructure these protons and neutrons and electrons and change them into something much better. Something that can go through these walls. We won't even need keys to get in the building. Don't worry about the keys. You just go through the wall. Don't worry about being late, because you'll be able to travel lightning speed. You're going to have to, because how far is the north? It's pretty far. How far is heaven? It's pretty far. But you know the angel, it only takes him a few days to travel. Remember Daniel? It took him a few days. Of course, he even got delayed because of the prince of Persia. It only took him a couple days. That's pretty far to travel in just a day or maybe an hour. That means you should travel. You will be traveling at the speed of light. Who would like to be the Flash? You don't have to worry about becoming the Flash. You will be the Flash.
All right? That's a true Avenger right there, the Flash. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Now you may say, okay, so where are we going?
Where are we going when this event happens?
I got one blank right here. Where are we going?
The true north. I'm not talking about the magnetic north. I am talking about the true north. There was a publication one before, years ago, even before I got married. I read about this publication saying that a bunch of scientists, they're looking through their telescope. They're using a pretty super high-powered telescope. And they were looking at the north. And they noticed, why is the north so bright? And then they saw shapes as if there's a city up in the north. And they're wondering, why are we seeing bright city in the outer space? We know what they saw. Let's take a look. Psalm 75, verse 6. Psalm 75, verse 6. Psalm 75, verse 6. We know this: for promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. What's missing? The north. Instead of using the north, the Bible says, but God is the judge. He put it down one and set it up another. Another one, Psalms 48. Since we're right here in the book of Psalms, Psalms 48. Okay, verse 1-2. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God. I told you about the city. In the mountain of his holiness, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north. The city of the great king. Where is the city of God?
It's in the north. And when this rapture happens, we come up. Where are we going? Imagine the earth. Some of the people living underneath, right, that the earth's round. Some on top, some on the sides. You know what? They're not going different directions. You know what's going to happen? When the dead in Christ shall rise, and we which are alive will be caught up together in the clouds. You know what direction will be? The folks that are underneath the globe will rise up this way. And the ones that are on the side will go up this way. And the ones that are on the north will just go up this way. Shortcut, they have a shortcut. But their direction is north.
Now, before we go to the when will this happen, I'm just looking at the time. Let's look at this first. What will we face? What will we face when we're all gathered together and with Christ?
I heard it already. The judge there's no key left. There is a
because, you know, they spell judges with an E, but then judgment sometimes doesn't have an E. But it's the judgment seat of Christ.
And this is probably the last event.
The last point in our lives that we're going to suffer. What am I talking about? Why is this sort of not all happy event? Let's take a look. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3.
First Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 through 15. Here we go. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Okay, he is the foundation. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, and then wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Did you all get that? That someday we will go see the Lord Jesus Christ and go before him in the judgment seat of Christ. And the judgment will be on our work. Based on what we built upon that foundation, which is Jesus Christ. And the stuff that we built upon that foundation are going to be either precious stones, gold, or silver, which do not burn up, or wood, hay, stubble, that burn up. You see that? That means some of the works that we do after we're saved do not measure up, will not measure up. It will be tried by fire based on what sort it is. You know what it means? That means the quality of your work. That means how genuine was your service for Christ. That means the things that you're doing for God after you're saved, after you're a Christian. Is that a true, genuine service to our God? Because some of those things will burn up, and some of the things will be tried, and we'll hold up in that trial, and we'll survive. Although you'll be saved, because you're saved forever. But whatever you do for Christ will be tested. So this is the last event where Christians are going to suffer loss. And the rewards that we get will be based on that. Have you heard of crown of righteousness? Crown of rejoicing? Crown of life? I'm sure you heard about those things. I'll teach you about those things and what they mean, how you can earn them. Some of us Christians are going to be rewarded with how many cities we can govern, how many places we can be the governor and the mayors of. And it's all based on what you have done for Christ after you're saved. That's the judgment seat of Christ. Now,
25. And the portion about the timeline is going to take us another probably 30 minutes. So here's what I'll do.
I will do that next time.
Amen.
But you know what? Here's a better way. If you come to a Bible study, you can get a head start. So if you have a chance, please come to the Bible study. And we will learn more about the rapture. When it's going to happen. Okay, when you should expect the seasons and all that.
But at least you learn that it's going to be an event full of lightnings and thunderings. And it's going to be an event when you'll hear your name called. That's an exciting event. And all the world will see are a bunch of, what's all these lightnings that's going up? It's going up, you know?
That's all they're going to see. And they're like, what is this strange phenomena? Climate change, you know, global warming, it's all because of that. And they don't really know that it's just the event that we've been waiting for. It's called the rapture. So don't worry about global warming or climate change. This is what we will see and experience. But anyway, any questions? Sister Ruth?
I was thinking, you know, how a lot of people, I think, like, talk about aliens.
Mm-hmm.
So they say this may be a thought of the alien abduction, you know, in the future.
Yeah.
I've heard something like that before. That's what we...
Yep. Yeah, there will be a lot of them, and many, I mean, they will actually think, good riddance. Good riddance. Because, alas, the Christians are gone. Exactly. But you know what? There'll be a terrible time. Because that is the start of the tribulation period. I think I talked to you about that. What it's going to be like during tribulation. What you should do just in case you are alive during the tribulation period. I hope that you're not. I hope that you're not here during the tribulation period, because it'll be a terrible period of time. I hope that you are part of this, the rapture. Amen. So we'll continue this study next time, and then I'll cover this also during our Bible study. Okay? Sounds good. So let's all stand and be close in prayer. Let's all stand. Oh, and there is an announcement. Just in case you're hungry, we have food left over.
Amen.
You can stick around or take them with you. Okay? All right. So let's come to the Lord in prayer. And before we pray, and as our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, you know me. I don't want to miss the opportunity to extend an invitation, because I don't want to assume that you are indeed saved, because I cannot read your heart. Only God knows you. He knows you more than you know yourself. And the things that we learn here, the rapture, this wonderful event, I just want to extend this invitation for you to examine yourself. Are you on God's side? Are you going to partake in this wonderful event?
Will you be a participant? That means, will you be taken out of here? You be sure about that. Be sure that God indeed knows your name personally. Oh yeah, He knows everybody, of course, because He's created everybody. But Him knowing a Christian is different than knowing someone who's rejected Christ. So be sure that you know Him and that He knows you. Bible says, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. And Christians, I taught you about this. More than anything that we're planning for in this life, that we're preparing for, this is what you should prepare for. You may ask, what is it? I told you about the judgment seat of Christ. Your works will be judged based on what you've done for Christ. I hope you're able to answer that question and say, yep, I am ready. Because if you're not, do something about it and be ready. Continue to serve the Lord. Stay busy for Him. Stay busy for Him. Amen.